I'm Michelle Martin from NPR News. It's Tell Me More. Yesterday, for the second year in a row, demonstrators held rallies in major cities all over the country. They want Congress and the Bush administration to move on a path to legal residency for the estimated 12 million illegal immigrants already in the U.S. And this year, they also pressed immigration officials to stop the stepped-up enforcement activities that have led to an increase in deportations. Here's Chicago Mayor Richard Daley.
We please stop dividing our families. Our nation is one of compassion and understanding. And we have to understand that this country was built by immigrants, our past, our present, and future.
But despite all this, turnout was much lower than last year. We wondered why and whether the marches are making a difference. So we're joined by two opinion leaders in the Latino community. Gustavo Arellano is an editor of OC Weekly in Orange County, California. His column is called Ask a Mexican. He joins us from KUCI in Irvine, California. Welcome, Gustavo.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. And Marielen Magaña, Chicago radio talk show host. She is better known to her fans as La Pecadora. She joins us from her studio at WOJO in Chicago. Welcome, Marielen.
Good morning, Michelle.
Thanks for being here also. Gustavo, can we start with you? The turnout was lower this year than last year. Why do you think that is, and does it matter?
The turnout was lower for a couple of reasons. Some people were afraid that the ICE was going to start deporting people en masse. Other people, though, I think didn't see the urgency to march like last year. Last year, there was a Sensenbrenner bill that would have made people, anyone who helped illegal immigrants, a felon. Now you have a glimmer of hope of amnesty in Congress, so the urgency isn't that big. However, I think ultimately it really doesn't make a difference. We still had massive, by any other account, rallies in Chicago. They had, what, estimated about 150,000 here in L.A., 25,000. It'd be really hard to get that many people in the United States to gather for anything else than a concert or a sports event.
I don't know. I mean, when you're talking about 500,000 people last year, when I think very few people were expecting that. And I think some of the anti-war rallies here, even though many of people have considered those futile, have had numbers bigger than that. So I don't know. Do you think that people are afraid to come out?
I think some people are, but not as much.
Marianne, what do you think?
I think that, of course, compared to last year, where we had 300,000 to 400,000 people get together here in Chicago, today, yes, we did have 100,000. However, just like Gustavo said, you know, it takes more than that to get them together at a concert. Were people afraid? I'm sure there were. A lot of people were afraid, especially here in Chicago, that a lot of raids had been going on just that morning. Just yesterday morning, people were getting raided. Were they afraid? Of course. However, even after fear and putting aside the fear, they still got together to do this, which is 150,000 of us getting together.
Marianne, you were out there walking among the demonstrators at some point. What were they saying? Did you get a chance to talk to people about why they came, why they thought
it
was important
to come? Yeah, well, we actually marched along with them, and a lot of the it's funny how you bring humor into it to try to keep you going, but a lot of things that they were bringing across was pretty much for the government, saying how we are not one, we are not 10, you know, freaking government count as well, because we're more than, you know, 100 or so. And a lot of these, they would turn them into songs, you know, chantings that would keep us going marching. There were a lot of things that they were hitting, you know, throwing at the government, especially the kids that would be, I was born here, my, you know, please don't take my mommy and my daddy away. You know, stuff like that.
Okay, but Marielen, you and your co-host, El Pistolero, Rafael Pulido, who, very popular host in Chicago, have been among the people urging people to come out. Do you think that you failed because the numbers were lower than they were?
No, not at all. Not at all. At the beginning, maybe 3-4 weeks ago, there wasn't that many enthusiasm, I guess you could say, in the people. Why? Because they were afraid. And again, just like Gustavo had mentioned earlier, thinking, well, maybe, you know, maybe it's not that important anymore. However, I think what triggered it were the raids themselves that had been going on here in Chicago. And that triggered the people to get up, step up, and move up.
Gustavo, you said that you feel that perhaps there's less urgency because there's more progress being made. But here in Washington, I think sometimes it feels a little different. I mean, it feels in some ways that we're at a stalemate. What makes you feel that progress is actually being made on this issue?
A year ago, we were still talking about passing the Sensenbrenner bill, a bill that would make anyone who helped out an illegal immigrant a felon. right after the marches, that quickly died. Now you have the Gutierrez-Flake bill, Luis Gutierrez from Illinois and Jeff Flake from Arizona, and that offers some type of amnesty, even though a lot of people who are associated with the pro-amnesty movement, they're not happy with it. It still, to me, represents progress as opposed to where we were last year. Obviously, in Washington, everything goes very slowly, but hey, at least it's progress rather than regressing back to something even worse than the Sensenbrenner bill.
Do you think the marches do any good at this point? Because some people feel that the marches last year may have had a negative effect on public opinion in some quarters.
In some quarters, yes, especially the waving of Mexican flags. I think that's going to trigger that latent xenophobia that's part of the American character. But ultimately, marches help out the people who are involved in them by invigorating their soul, as it were. But more importantly also, I think it just brings more attention from the media, a media that really tries to pay attention to everything except what's really important. So I guess now once a year we get to talk about immigration, and that would be every May Day. And if at the very least that has the media talking about it, even if what they're saying is that they're very disappointing marches, hey, better some publicity than none.
Maria Ellen, do you feel that the people who you were marching among, did you feel that they felt what Gustavo's talking about, which is that there is some progress being made? Did you sense that in the crowds?
I think it was a lot of people, and see, especially because we had all types of ethnic backgrounds there. Yeah, they're happy, and we are happy that some kind of progress is going on. Like you said, it's very, very slow. It's unfortunate. But, yeah, a lot of people, mainly what's hitting them now, it's the fact that a lot of people are being deported. Their kids are being left behind. So many people that were crying. It was as we kept on getting closer to the final point, a lot of parents, a lot of mothers would be crying because they have 3-4 children here, but yet their husband is being deported. So even though, like Gustavo says, it might be working very slowly, to a lot of people, it's just not working fast enough.
Did people have a sense of the proposals that are on the table at the moment? For example, the administration proposal would require a family member to leave the country for a period of time and pay some rather large fees to achieve citizenship. Are people aware of those kinds of details, and what do they think about it?
They are very aware, and that's something that we were talking to the people, because we did our show live yesterday early morning, so we did get a lot of the sense of the people, exactly what they're feeling and where they're coming from. And a lot of people basically came down to, you know what, it's outrageous paying $10,000 for each family member so they can go ahead and have the liberty to come and go as they please. It's outrageous. However, like Gustavo says, at the end, what else can they do? At least it's some kind of progress. Is it outrageous? Of course it's outrageous. Is it fair? No, we don't think it's fair. But it's something that it's being, you know, it's happening, so what can we do?
Maria, what about the question I asked Gustavo earlier? There is some evidence that the marches last year may have been an empowering experience for the people participating in them. But for some people, it evoked a backlash. It evoked some negative feelings among other citizens and decision makers who are offended by some of what they saw. So what do you think about that? Do you think the marches still have a positive effect? What's the net benefit, or is it
most definitely the marches, there's no reason why it should produce a negative effect either on people or on politicians. If it doesn't, what does that tell you? Look at Martin Luther King. How many people did he actually move? Look at Cesar Chavez. If it wasn't for him working and boycotting the grapes, he would have never gotten that done. You know, Emiliano Zapata, we really want to go back to the 1900s. So I believe that those people that get offended are those that have something to be offended about.
Okay. Gustavo, what do you think is the next step from both a grassroots perspective and from a standpoint of opinion leaders like yourself who write about this issue?
I wouldn't know so much about myself, but specifically in the grassroots level, it's more just lobbying Congress, writing letters to legislators, and more importantly, I think just setting an example of sorts to Americans who question whether legalizing all these illegal immigrants, the vast majority of who are Latinos, the vast majority of that who are Mexicans, to really show that they belong in America. And marches, rallies, they're really good because for the most part, they're peaceful. I know out here in Los Angeles, there were some clashes with police at the very end, but it's a very small segment. I think that the American public should see all these people marching for the right to become Americans, and they should be inspired by that rather than, you know, get fearful of that.
Marilyn, what is next for you and for, say, Rafael Epistolero, your co-host, who've been so active in getting people to participate in these kinds of marches? What's next?
Well, let's see exactly what happens and how fast that happens for all of our immigrant friends. Me personally, I would say that if this doesn't get the point across, maybe another march won't do it. However, how about a boycott?
Of what?
Something, you know, I mean, we have so many people that are working the fast food restaurants. We have so many, you know, Latinos that are working the American companies, you know. I do believe that we should stay, we should see where this is going to go, see how it's going to go ahead and benefit our friends, and let's take it from there. What's next? Who knows? Everything is possible. Everything is available.
How do you feel today? Do you feel, when you're looking back on yesterday, and the fact that the coverage is obviously mixed, that some people are noting the fact that the marches did take place on the anniversary, it did, as Gustavo pointed out, draw attention to the issue, but that the numbers were off. How do you feel today about what you did?
I feel very happy, Michelle. I feel so happy. I am so proud of my people. Let me add, I'm born, raised, and here. You know, my mom is the one that came over, but I am just so happy to see so many young individuals, high school kids, the new generation, kids that are born and raised here fighting for those that can't fight. I am so proud.
All right. Well, thank you so much. María Elena Magaña, La Pecadora, Chicago radio host. She joined us on the phone from Joliet, Illinois. Thank you so much for joining us, María Elena.
Thank you, dear.
Gustavo.
Hey, bye.
And we're also joined by OC Weekly editor Gustavo Arellano. His new book is Ask a Mexican.